This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, I want to thank you all for joining me this evening as I sign a law that will ban sanctuary cities in Texas. We all support legal immigration. It helped to build America and Texas. Texas strongly supports the legal immigration that has been a part of our state from our very beginning. But legal immigration is different from harboring people who have committed dangerous crimes. This law cracks down on policies like the Travis County Sheriff, who declared that she would not detain known criminals accused of violent crimes. Those policies are sanctuary city policies and won't be tolerated in Texas. Texas has now banned sanctuary cities in the Lone Star State.
Well, you knew that was coming. Of course, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signing a bill on Sunday prohibiting the state's cities and counties from enacting so-called sanctuary laws that prevent local law enforcement officers from inquiring about the immigration status of anyone they detain. Abbott took the unusual step of signing a bill on Facebook Live with no advance public notice. He said Texas residents expect lawmakers to keep us safe, and said similar laws have already been tested in federal court, where opponents have already been hinting the bill will be immediately challenged. And you know that's going to be the case. So, congratulations to Governor Abbott and the citizens of Texas in leading the way on this issue.
Think how ridiculous that statement you just said is.
Yeah,
all
I
he
know.
Did was said we need to follow the law.
Yes.
And somebody's saying that somehow that needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
That statement in some way, shape, or form needs to be challenged. Again, like you said, nobody is challenging legal immigration.
Right.
In fact, the more people that want to come here, the better it is for us, as long as they're going through the process that we have set up.
It's a two-way street, Scott. It's not only for the citizens, but for the applicant, for the immigrant who is coming here. So they have a fair shot at it. I mean, I've always maintained that one of the core values we should hold to is that, and I say one of several that are critical, and they all interact one with another, but one key aspect is that you should have a fair chance at being successful. I say a fair chance to win. So if you come to this country as an immigrant, you should have a fair shot at being able to, you know, get a job, provide for yourself, provide for your family, have the wherewithal to where you're not a liability like, our existing immigration laws if you're coming in as an immigrant. If you're coming in on a visa, a work visa or whatever, so it's a specific purpose, then it's covered and the guidelines are there and stipulated. But if you come in illegally, now you got to operate in the shadows and you're going to be subject to all kinds of problems. And yes, that's right. There's no protection of the law by that, you know.
And think about that. This is their first action that they're going to do in this country. You have a choice. Is it going to be an illegal action or is it going to be the legal action?
Exactly.
And I'm sorry, if your first choice to get here is to do something illegal, and that's absurd to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is these cities who provide sanctuary cities, for some misguided reason, do not understand what the trajectory is, you know, because you're trying to protect them from the local community influenced by these many zip code lords who are controlling these illegal immigrants, because that's what they fall under. They need protection. They can't get it by legal means, so they have to do it through the back door. And, oh, yeah, by the way, all these other things, whether it's sex trafficking and drug running, come into play as well, because this is all happening in the shadows. And this is not a win-win proposition. The conversation continues. Thank you for joining us. I'm Bill Martinez. We're coming on 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay right where you are, America.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
As we said, that needs to be our focus. If that's, you know, really that important, and most Americans say, 6 out of 10 say we're on the wrong track. So what does the right track look like? And we need to stay focused on that particular objective if things are going to change. And it seems that they're starting to change, but you got to understand, change comes at a price, and it can be painful. Because Bill Fetter, who is with us right now, and as he will tell you, sometimes we don't want to change until the existing experience is so painful that we have no other choice. Right, Bill?
Right. Well, it's great to be with you.
And always.
I put together a book called Who is the King in America?
Mm-hmm.
And Who is the Counselors to the King? And bottom line, the people.
Yes.
So Republicans, the people are king, ruling through representatives. And when we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic, you're basically pledging allegiance to you being in charge of yourself under God. And
that's what we need to connect back with, Bill, is that the people have, you know, disengaged from that core foundational elemental principle that we are in charge. The president and all the elected officials serve at our behest, not the other way around. They've turned it around on us, and we think, oh, all glory and honor to the king, because, as you noted in your book, that's kind of like our default mentality, isn't it?
Right. So I did a new book called Who is the King in America, and I researched all of recorded human history, found out that writing began around 3 or 4,000 B.C., Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. Of course, 3 or 4,000 B.C., and we're around 2080, is around 5 or 6,000 years, and so that's not that long. I mean, yeah. 6,000 years is only 60 people living 100 years each.
Exactly.
So everyone's met someone who's lived 100 years, maybe a grandmother. We're talking 60 grandmas, and you're back to the beginning of recorded human history. People seem to find that amazing. But the most common form of government's a king. So whether we call them a pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar. And if you've ever seen a nautilus shell where it has the little circle, then it comes down with a little bigger circle and a bigger. You track these empires, and they go from Nimrod, Tower of Babel. Then they get bigger with Sargon of Akkadia, conquered from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean. Then it gets bigger with the Egyptian pharaohs and the Chinese emperors and the Indian Maharajas. Then it gets bigger with Cyrus of Persia and then Alexander the Great. Then it gets bigger with the Roman Empire and Attila the Hun and the Muslim sultans. And finally, the maritime empires of Spain, France, but finally the King of England had the biggest. He was, in a sense, a globalist, right? He had all of India and Australia, New Zealand, and America. And America's founders, we didn't like the globalist thing. We took the power of a king and we split it into three branches, split it federal to state level, tied it up with 10 handcuffs. We call the first 10 amendments. So in essence, all the Constitution is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of a king.
Exactly. And, well, I'll tell you, for a while there was some question, Bill, under this last administration, if that rubber band had been stretched beyond its ability to snap back.
Right, and the dilemma is it's in human nature. The same way you have put babies in a playpen, one takes the rattle from another. You put some kids on a playground, one's the bully hogging the ball. Put some junior high girls in a clique, and one of them's the diva. It just happens. Power wants to concentrate, and it's hierarchical. If you're friends with the king, you're more equal. You're not friends with the king, you're less equal. You're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason, or you're a slave. And that's the norm until America flipped it. But unfortunately, in addition to this gravitational pull, you have people that want to intentionally have power concentrate, and they've noticed that power seems to concentrate in times of crises. Mm-hmm. And so their idea is to intentionally create crises.
Exactly.
Machiavelli, Hegel, Karl Marx. But Washington, in his farewell address, gave a warning, and he says, usurpation, that's doing something you're not authorized to do, usurpation, though in one instance is the instrument of good. It is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. And so, in other words, the worst thing that can happen is somebody that says, I want to do something good, I just need a little more power to do it. So, you know, you look at history, and it was good that Lincoln ended slavery. But in the process, a lot of rights did go from the states to the federal government. It was good that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to end the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs in the federal government. It was good that Lyndon Johnson wanted to end poverty, but he concentrates power with his Great Society welfare state into the hands of the federal government. It was good that President Bush wanted to make sure there's no more terrorist attacks, but he concentrates power into the federal government with his NSA, and the government can read all your emails and track all your Google searches.
And the Patriot Act, yeah, right?
Right, and so you have we just got done with 8 years of President Obama, and he would say, I want to do something good. I don't have time to wait for Congress. I got my pen and my phone. I'm just going to do it. Mm-hmm. And you have these Democrats doing sit-ins in Congress saying, he wants to do something good. Let him have a little more power to do it. The problem is, when you do that, you're fundamentally transforming the government from a bottom-up to a top-down. It's a polarity.
Exactly. Right.
And now
the elites in D.C., they love that because they're convinced, Bill, that they're geniuses. And here we are, $20 trillion in debt, and the geniuses have got us there.
Right. It's interesting. In my study of world history, I've identified one of the telltale signs right before an empire or a country collapses. It's debt. So the Roman Empire, as long as it was expanding, it was living off the conquered peoples. And then Hadrian's Wall said this far and no further. They had to live within their means, but then they ended up getting in debt, and they got weakened and collapsed. The Spanish Empire, as long as it was conquering and gathering gold from the New World, it was doing fine. But then when the gold ran out, it was still living above its means, and it got in debt until it turned into this rotten shell, and it collapsed. The Ottoman Empire, as long as it was expanding, it was living off the conquered peoples, and then they had to live within their means, and then it began to collapse. We did the same thing to the Soviet Union. It was called the arms race. So right. Reagan spent on our military. Russia tried to keep up, and they're funneling money from their economy to their military. Their economy ends up cratering, and they get bankrupt. And so under Obama, we basically did to ourselves what we did to the Soviet Union. Mm. He doubled our debt, and so, you know, I tell people debt is like fat to the body politic, right? You have a body.
Right.
You eat stuff you shouldn't. You got to carry it around. It's fat. It's not brain tissue. It's not muscle tissue. It does not add anything, but yet you got to pay interest on it. You got to carry this around.
Yeah.
And so
it takes away more than it gives, that's for sure.
And so Obama put us in a very vulnerable situation. I thought that one of the best lines in the inaugural address of Trump is, we're not transferring power from one party to another. We're transferring power from Washington, D.C. back to the people.
Exactly.
And that's very encouraging. Now, the rhinos, Republican in name only, have been resisting him. That's been frustrating. A study was done of what motivates politicians, and the answer was election. They want to get elected.
That's right.
And the higher you go, the more money you need. And so the people that are leaders in the different parties, Republican and Democrat, they have to get money from somewhere, and so they indebt themselves to big globalist interests and big PACs, and they end up representing the people that give them money, not the people of the country.
Talk about selling your soul to the company store, right?
Yes.
One more time. Bill Fetter is with us, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage His American Minute radio features broadcast daily on stations across the country, and his Faith in History TV program airs daily on DirecTV via the TCT network. He is a former U.S. congressional candidate, and we've got more from Bill Federer on the other side of the break. You want to stay with us, America, as you can tell. And get out your number two Ticonderoga pencil, your legal pad. Keep making notes, because he is loaded with all kinds of information to help you. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely, and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
And we bring you the experts to give you the information and the facts, Jack, as they say that you need to hear. Bill Federer, one of those celebrated experts, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill, you know, in the last segment, we talked about slavery. and America's approach to slavery with Abraham Lincoln, and that it was more of a top-down dictate that was really a bottom-up issue. And, you know, and we talk about the difference because you have America getting rid of slavery. You also, almost concurrently, you have the British. Well, I guess afterwards you had the British, addressing slavery. We go to civil war. Britain does not. What's the difference between these two?
Britain had the Wesleys. They had revival, and they had John Newton and William Wilberforce. And these were Christians that used the parliamentary process, William Wilberforce, to outlaw the slave trade, and then out of a whole life-long effort, finally got them to outlaw slavery. France, when it had its revolution, it outlawed slavery within France, but not in the French territories. And so Haiti was the richest colony in the world, really. I mean, it was sugar, and they didn't. It was based on the slave trade. So France did not free the slaves on Haiti, and so they had a 10-year revolt. Hundreds of thousands died. But America, it was after that America comes along. Now, we had five categories. Like your five fingers, right? So you had the extreme radical Republican North said slavery is wrong, end it now. Mm-hmm. You had the moderate Republican North that said slavery is wrong, let's transition out of it over time. You don't want to just shove your kid out of the house if he can't hold a job. You don't want to shove somebody off your plantation if they can't read and write, so let's do this orderly. Mm-hmm. Then you had the neutral that said, we don't care about social issues like slavery. We just care about economics, tariff taxes and price of cotton and so forth. And then you had the moderate Democrat South that said slavery is wrong, but we got to live with it. It's been here for centuries. Just treat your slaves nice. And then you had the extreme Democrat South that said slavery is good. Let's expand it into the new territories that are coming into the Union after the Louisiana Purchase. And let's force these Northerners to participate in slavery through the fugitive slave law. So if a slave escapes to the North, it's a federal crime for somebody in the North to help them get to Canada. You know, it's interesting. We have those five categories today when it comes to abortion, right? Mm-hmm. You have the radical Republican pro-life that abortion's wrong, and now then you have these rhinos that say, well, let's take our time getting out of it. Mm-hmm. And then the people in the middle that don't care about social issues, they just care about economics. And then the moderate Democrats that say, well, abortion's wrong, just have it be rare and few. And then the extreme Democrats that say abortion is good. Let's include it in the Obamacare and force these little nuns to have to pay for abortion, even though they sell it. And so but you look at the social issue of slavery, but then you look at the economic issue. And cotton was the biggest traded item in the world. It was the oil back in the early 1800s, the equivalent as far as economic trade. And so a whole lot of it came from the agricultural South in America, and it went to the British textile industry. And a couple of the things that led up to the war is that they had bumper crops in the South before the Civil War, and they had a glut of it, and England bought a whole lot of it. And so when the war started, with the threat of the war, the crops in the South, they had a couple of real bad years, and the price of cotton went up, and Britain didn't need to buy any more because they had a whole lot. And so all of a sudden, the South has cotton that nobody wants to buy. Ironically, talk about economics. Somebody came up with the idea of let's create an even bigger shortage and let's burn lots of our cotton.
Oh, wow.
And they did. They burned thousands of pounds of it. The problem was, it made the price of cotton go up, but Britain, instead of paying the higher price, began to look for alternative sources like India and China.
Right. See, they burned the cotton in the wrong place. Had they burned Britain's cotton, you know, like the Tea Party or something, it might have served them better.
Before the Civil War, cotton exports from America's southern states made up 77% of the 800 million pounds used by Britain's textile industry. Hmm. And after they burned the cotton, it created this shortage. The price of cotton rose, and the China and India began to supply. So the South is really hurting financially. And so into this situation, you have the radical Republicans saying, free your slaves. It's like, maybe in a good year we might
do right.
But this is
exactly.
Like really of the wrong thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so Abraham Lincoln began to blockade the southern ports. And so now they couldn't even ship the cotton to the other countries because the other countries wouldn't honor Confederate dollars, but they trade for cotton. So sort of a barter. We'll give you cotton, you give us arms. But when Lincoln did his anaconda strategy, like a big snake that would start going around the whole Southern Confederacy, cutting off these ports. Now, John Adams had a grandson who was the U.S. ambassador to Britain. His name was Charles Francis Adams. And he convinces the British to stay neutral during the Civil War. And then Lincoln, when he made the decision to emancipate the slaves, it switched the war from an economic states' rights war into a war about slavery. This was a brilliant political strategy because, as you mentioned, Britain had gotten rid of slavery prior to the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. And so no leader in Britain wanted to be perceived as supporting slavery. And so in politics, this is called gaining the moral high ground.
Yes, exactly.
If you were to have a casino wants to come in and people say they're going to bring in prostitution, drugs, and it's terrible, but the casino says, you know what, we're going to spend a little of our money for schools. And so they have this big ad campaign. Are you in favor of schools? Are you in favor of the children? Then you'll vote for Proposition B to let the casinos come in. You're not voting for Proposition U. You must hate the children. You're a terrible person. It's like, wait, they gained the moral high ground because they said we're for the children. But exactly. When in actuality, they're there to, you know, do their gambling and all the stuff that comes with it. Well, when Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, it was hands-off of the Confederacy. These European powers that were, you know, still considering to support the South, didn't. And so now the South is really hurting. Slavery. The Southern economy did rely on slavery. The first slaves came to America in 1619. They were on a Dutch ship. A little background. The Muslims had slavery for 8 centuries before America was discovered. And they would take the Africans and sell them from Timbuktu, where the canoe meets the caravan. They'd sell them in Khartoum. They'd sell them in Zanzibar. So the Muslims were enslaving Africans. When Columbus discovers the New World, you have greedy Spaniards who would enslave Native Americans. And so the same time that Martin Luther was doing the Reformation, there was a good Spaniard. He was a Catholic priest, Bartolome de las Casas, spends his whole life to convince the King of Spain to outlaw the enslavement of Native Americans. When he is finally successful, the greedy people say, where can we get more slaves? Someone said, Africa. And so that's when they began to go to the Muslim slave ports, bring them over to America. And at first they were like indentured servants, but then they became permanent servants. And then you had the Constitution, and at that time they outlawed the importation of slaves in 1807. Prior to the Civil War, 19 states did voluntarily get rid of slavery. Then you had the Missouri Compromise, where the Democrat Senator Stephen Douglas says, here's this line across America, everything above it, no slaves, everything below it, slaves. But anyway,
Bill, with about 30 seconds left there, sum it up, you know, why we're still here today and we're still in this contentious battle over slavery that was pretty well, you know, we thought was done away with, but we're still dealing with the aftermath.
Right. Well, sort of mixing the first part of our talk, you have agitators that want to have crises. And so they would send people into countries, find fault lines and tension lines, stir it up till there's outbreaks of violence, and then it would be an excuse for a dictator to take over. And so whether it's the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda, or whether it's people that still have grievances in America, they want to stir up a grievance. Works best if they're not Christian. Napoleon said even religion is what keeps the poor from murdering.
Exactly. Well, Bill Federer, we got to leave it at that. Thank you so much.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Values, faith, they still exist here.
What it is, Paul, is that nowadays kids get 75 cents a week allowance instead of 25 cents.
That's an awful lot of money for a young.
They get it, Paul, and they don't have to work for it like I do.
You want it straight, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it goes. There are no rules for pas and sons. It's as simple as this. Each mother or father raises his boy or girl, as the case may be, the way that he thinks is best. And I think it's best for you to get a quarter and work for it. You see, when you give something, in this instance, cleaning the garage, and you get something in return, like a quarter, well, that's the greatest feeling in the world. You do feel good after working, don't you?
Uh-huh. Good and tired.
Well, as you get bigger, well, you'll be doing more and more work for more and more return, and that good feeling will get bigger.
I'm not going to get 75 cents. And I have to work for the 25.
Right. All clear to you?
Yeah. The bigger you get, the tireder you get.
Bill Martinez, live.
Well, hello, America. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, and it is time to talk about VA research, improving the health care for vets, from inventing the implantable cardiac pacemaker to helping develop the brain-computer interface, with numerous advances treating chronic diseases, spinal cord injury, mental health, and countless other conditions and diseases in between. VA research has been improving the lives of all generations of veterans for over nine decades. This year, we begin to showcase the extraordinary work of VA researchers nationwide through VA Researcher Week, which is going to take place from May the 15th through the 19th. The VA is celebrating 92 years of research excellence and will be focusing on that as the theme. And with us here to talk more about it, Dr. David Atkins is back with us. He is the Acting Deputy Chief Research and Development Officer. Dr. Atkins, good to have you back. Always good to talk to you. This gets to be like an annual event between us here, you know?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk with you and your huge audience down in Florida and beyond. So
yes.
Thanks.
Well, Dr. Atkins, VA Research Week, May the 15th through the 19th. Explain to the audience why the focus and what it's all about here.
Yeah, well, this is an annual event we do, and it has the aim to both celebrate the research we do, to let the public know about it. Unfortunately, many of your listeners probably don't realize that all the research we do. But lastly, to thank all our veterans for helping make the research possible. The best thing about doing research in the VA is you have a community of veterans who are always looking for ways to give back to their fellow veterans. And one of the ways they do that is by participating in our research, and our Research Week events always make a point of bringing some of those veterans back to thank them and show the important contributions they make.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of highlighted some of the research that you do. I mean, maybe because it's so much that this is one of the reasons why people don't understand all that the VA does by way of research.
Yeah, we do research from everything from research in mice to large clinical studies. You referred to some of those. We did some of the first studies to show that taking medications for your blood pressure can help prevent stroke and heart attack. We do some really exciting research about cutting-edge ways to help people with spinal cord injury or amputation. And then because we are a healthcare system, we're always doing research as to how to improve how we deliver care, research about how you can do care telehealth. You can do care video rather than having to come in to see your doctor, because you know our veterans are all over the country, and some of them live a couple hundred miles away from their nearest medical center.
Exactly. Well, as you noted earlier, these research breakthroughs wouldn't be possible without the vets who volunteered to participate in these VA studies, whether it's helping find cures for illnesses, helping others who were sick, or helping scientists find out more about how the human body and mind work. It is the veterans volunteers who participate in these studies. And as you say, they deserve special thanks. And this is one of the reasons for VA Research Week. It's kind of a time just to take a pause and thank everybody that participates. Now, let's talk about some of the historical accomplishments from the VA research, Dr. Atkins.
Yeah, so one of them that has a particular connection to me is we did the first liver transplant actually in the VA. And the surgeon who did that, Dr. Thomas Starzl, he moved to Pittsburgh where I did my medical training, and he was a legend there running the world's largest liver transplant service. We helped invent the pacemaker. We contributed to the work that invented the CAT scan. So lots of major accomplishments, and it's because we have a great partnership with the world's leading universities, many of which are just across the street from the VA Medical Center. And so I think the great thing is VA does its research in partnership with universities, in partnership with industry, and in partnership with our other federal research agencies like the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control, and of course, our partners at the Department of Defense. We have entered some big partnerships with Department of Defense to look at traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, Dr. Atkins, VA Research Week gives the VA Medical Centers an opportunity to showcase the numerous achievements of VA researchers. So during this week, I take it people are coming in. You've got vets who've participated in research studies. You also have vets that are wanting to volunteer in the future research studies as well, right? Are they coming in as well?
Yeah, we hope that anyone who's, you know, near a VA medical center will check out on the web the events that are going on. Usually what they do is they have some presentations from the scientists who are doing research at those facilities. They'll have some presentations from some veterans who've participated in research, and there'll be information about how to participate. The one research study we're doing that any veteran can be part of is the Million Veterans Program. We have over 500,000 veterans who've already signed up to be part of that. All it involves is giving a blood sample, completing a health questionnaire, and then we have created the world's largest database that includes medical record information, questionnaire and genetic analysis so that we can start to unlock how your genes combine with your lifestyle and your medical history to affect what treatments are best for you, what your risk of disease is.
Well, Doctor, that's a pretty ambitious study, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, we're hoping to get to a million. We're already the world's largest, with I think lately by today maybe 560,000. The National Institutes of Health has started a parallel effort, and we're collaborating with them. They're hoping to get to a million, and we're hoping to work together to figure out how all this information can help lead us to what's being called precision medicine. Mm-hmm. The idea that your doctor will or nurse will choose not just sort of the treatment that's good for people like you, I mean, on average, but for the things that are very specific to you.
Exactly. Well, we love our vets, and we love them all the more when we realize that they are the gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, eager to participate and, you know, help out with medical research here with the Veterans Administration. Where can everybody go for more information, Dr. Atkins?
We have a great website at www.research.va.gov. Has lots of information, but also some really exciting videos, interviews with some of our scientists, some demonstrations of our cutting-edge work on to help people with spinal cord injury walk again, people who've lost an arm or a leg, give them new prostheses. So hopefully they'll go and check it out and see some of the great advances that we're making to try to help get our veterans recover faster and stay healthy.
Well, that's great. The VA medical centers nationwide are celebrating veterans and their participation in cutting-edge research as we celebrate the week May 15th through the 19th as VA Research Week, celebrating 92 years of research excellence. And we're focusing on that as the theme. Dr. David Atkins has been with us, the Acting Deputy Chief of Research and Development. Dr. Atkins, thank you so much for being with us.
Bill, thanks so much for having me on again.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs are increasingly optimistic about the economy, according to the Spring 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, but this isn't yet translating into new investment in their business. The survey of 1,000 small business owners nationwide found that 52% are optimistic the national economy will improve over the next 12 months, up a staggering 21% since fall 2016. However, some uncertainty still exists among small business owners, as revenue expectations and growth plans remain at the modest levels seen last fall, and plans to increase hiring shrunk to a five-year low of only 18%. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
We saw a surge in economic confidence, and it's a great indicator of potential small business growth in 2017. However, we do see a wait-and-see attitude persisting as we see entrepreneurs hold back on making new investments to hire and grow in the year ahead.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, why not? Here I am, Bill Martinez, just for you. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Had a couple, a couple tweets out there. One was, what did you hear that was maybe an aha moment from your pastor or your rabbi or somebody else, some other religious leader, over the weekend? It's always quite fascinating, I find, especially now, Bob Walaszewski. Let's bring Bob on. Bob, of course, focuses on the family's director of media and culture and director of Focus's world-famous plugged-in department. Robert, with President Trump signing the executive order, I guess minimizing the significance of the Johnson Amendment, at least putting it in check, liberating pastors, to be able to speak
talk
a little bit more freely. Yeah, be able to, talk politics from the pulpit.
Yeah, that's a very interesting, I think the freedom of speech part of it is definitely right on. That said, I hope my pastor doesn't use the pulpit too much to do endorsing. I just think the time is too valuable to talk about God's word and great topics and great stories out of the Bible that have such encouragement. So the freedom that he has, and maybe in a passing comment someday, he can mention who he's for. I'd be okay with that. But at the same time, and personally, I'd just rather have that be more of an he can send me a text maybe later. Is he kind of or send an email to everyone in the church?
Yeah, I think that's going to be something the church works with, because for so long they've had that they've had the shackles on them. And like anything else, as you know, as we learn from Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, how they control elephants. They get them when they're young, they form them, and then later on, it's a little bit of, a little bit of rope, keeps them restrained.
That's right. They have they could totally get away, but they don't even realize it.
Exactly. And so maybe the pastors, they're going to have to work through this process just a little bit, because I think what it potentially opens up here, Bob, is the ability for a pastor to take things that are happening culturally and apply them to Scripture. Have Scripture apply it to, put it against it. Because I think that sometimes people want to see that, the Word is living it's applicable to the current times? And will this now open up, some freedom for pastors in the pulpit?
I will say one more little comment here before we move over to movies, that it seems to me on the other side of the aisle from where I live, and I'll just be honest, that Democratic side, that they've had a little bit more freedom in the pulpit for years and years. Obama has spoken in many churches. Hillary Clinton has spoken in many churches. They get the pulpit Sunday morning, and they don't have to do anything but just show up and be there in the pulpit, and everyone in the congregation has just sent the message that this is the candidate your pastor would vote for, or this person would not be here in the pulpit.
Exactly.
And so that freedom now for other people on the other side of the aisle to maybe do a message or preach or show up, and hopefully not too political. Again, I'd rather have the pulpit be open more for God's word. But if you take a strong believer on either side of the aisle, to be honest, if it's a strong believer, a good, godly person who, and there are a few, then, hey, if they want to get minister and get a chance to use the pulpit, then I'm fine with that.
Right. So we'll see how that plays out. And of course, that was an exciting, that kind of punctuated, Thursday, last week, a National Day of Prayer.
Time,
that it was interesting to observe that a lot of Christians, Bob, didn't realize the National Day of Prayer is a law. It's a law in our country. When we hear so much about separation church and state and, the allowances of anything of faith, and you go, oh, yeah, it is a law. That's right.
Yeah. We have that freedom. We don't have to. But, in fact, we should pray every day, is my opinion. Yeah. At the same time, Jesus himself said, if two or more are gathered in my name, there's some extra prayer power. I don't exactly understand it, but he described it. And National Day of Prayer is a chance for not just two, but maybe 2 million and two, or maybe 20 million and two people to, agree together to pray for our nation's leaders. Those are in media. We, one of my staff went up to a neighboring community on the way to Denver, Castle Rock, Colorado, and prayed on the steps there and talked, and he prayed for the media. That was why we were asked to go, pray for those in Hollywood and ask God to do a special touch. So,
well, and like you say, when two or more are gathered in his name and you have millions of people across the country gathered together, I mean, I'm touched every Sunday. Just for Catholics around the world praying the Lord's Prayer. I mean, you cannot miss a Mass at a Catholic church where the Lord's Prayer is not prayed by everyone there. And they're just, to me, that is very powerful. And here we are storming the gates of heaven, and we know that the gates will suffer violence. And so we have to warrior up for times such as this. And speaking of warrior up, let's go to movies.
We've got
Guardians, number one, big number here, not the biggest, but still pretty significant for May. Top 20, I think, right now.
It's pretty huge. Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, $145 million over the weekend. Internationally, I haven't seen those numbers yet, but I'm sure when you join what it did in other countries, because this is the kind of film that plays very well in many, many, many countries. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, it was very impressive film visually. Mm-hmm. I mean, the special effects, the CGI just continues to get better and better every year. And the realism of some of the most impossible scenes. If you've seen the trailer even,
where
the muscular Drax jumps into this huge mouth of this monster, kind of octopus looking, but more than that. And, I think he actually jumped in. I mean, it looks that real.
Yeah.
So now, that said, a little bit more about Guardians of the Galaxy. It picks up where the last film left off. There's five Guardians of the Galaxy. One's a tree limb or tree twig. Baby Groot. That one doesn't work for me. I'll be honest. I have a struggle with that one.
It's
like, really? I've got a talking tree twig? And then another one that doesn't work for me is Rocket. He's a talking raccoon. Okay. But the three that are human, those work more for me. Chris Pratt's character is Peter Quill, also known as Star-Lord. We have his love interest, the green-skinned female warrior Gamora. and I've already mentioned the mighty muscle Drax already. Mm-hmm. And this time they're certainly going to save the galaxy. I mean, that's what they do, the Guardians. But they're also battling these gigantic monsters and dealing with this blue ravager in the film called Yondu. And Chris Pratt's character meets his dad, which is an interesting little side plot as well. Now,
it's not Darth Vader, is it?
It's not Darth Vader, okay. But it is Kurt Russell.
Yeah, exactly.
Character.
Yes.
And he's actually describes himself as a god. He says, I'm a god with a small g.
Okay, what's that about?
Anyway, from a family perspective, the last film we gave a 3, which was kind of on the bubble. We always call that 3. You know, if you want to go, don't want to go, there's some problems, but they're not that significant. This one, the good was better, and the bad was worse. So, for instance, what do I mean? There's more heroics. The characters are more mature on the positive side, and the Gamora character, the green-skinned one that I mentioned, there's a bonding with her sister, who's a villainess in the film, at least early on. Mm-hmm. But on the negative, if you go to our review, you'll see typically under sexual content, we might have a paragraph or two for a film that gets a 2.5. This one we have almost a full page. Wow. Now, nothing is explicit. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure people understand that. But it's pervasive. And it's inappropriate over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So,
I wish Hollywood would have done better. Colbert, right?
Yeah, not that bad. but just stuff where you wouldn't want your kids talking like many characters talk in the film. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
You know, if your kids talked to it, they'd be in trouble. You would ground them for a week. Mm-hmm. Some of the lines that come through in the film. So, is it the worst of the worst? No. And by the way, the body count is very high in this one too. Bloodless, but there's a lot of people that die in Guardians of the Galaxy. Now that said, I knew it was going to do well. I mean, I totally get it. All total, the last weekend's box office was $185 million, and $145 million was just one film. So all the other films have to share $40 million. So none of them did very well. Number two only made $8 million. So you can just see no one went to anything else but Guardians of the Galaxy.
So all the cash went to Guardians of the Galaxy, just about. And was it $200 million film? So they're, you know, Disney's in the black, you know, with the international box office. I mean, they're in positive cash flow with this right out the gate.
Yeah, and it'll have staying power. It is. It used to be the summer blockbuster started Memorial Day weekend, but they start now the first weekend in May. And this past weekend, of course, was that first weekend in May.
Next weekend,
we have King Arthur, and then a new Pirates of the Caribbean, and then we have a new Transformers, and Despicable Me, and a Cars film, and Dunkirk, which I'm actually looking forward to later this summer.
Yeah.
There's a lot coming down the pike here.
We got about 30 seconds. What about The Circle, real quick?
Well, Tom Hanks is in it, and I'll tell you, the heart of this film is absolutely right. But they did not know what kind of message they wanted to deliver. And it was a confusing mess, and you can see the Rotten Tomatoes, the other critics said too. I think the approval rating was like 15%, so people in the audience was like 20. So no one liked the film, and yet and it didn't do very well. I mean, only $15 million in 2 weeks is pretty poor for a Tom Hanks film.
Yeah, without a doubt. Bob Olszewski, Focus on the Families, Director of Media. Thank you, Robert.
If you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.